Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Somebody back there saw me getting two water bottles. I forget who it was. Said, man, that must indicate how long you're going to preach. That's about an hour and a half right there. And after I drink that one, that's probably about another hour and 25 minutes. I hope y'all are ready. I'm just kidding. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to preach. I'm going to try to turn this on. There we go. It's good to be here. The Lord's given me a lot of opportunities lately to travel and preach. Seems like I've been just about everywhere. And there's one thing I've learned while I've traveled, preacher. It's that this morning, Pastor was talking about, you know, nobody likes it when somebody gets up and preaches on something they don't know anything about. See, like, if I got up here tonight and started preaching on this is how you are to have a successful marriage, I'd be a fool because I ain't married. I don't know anything about it. I could try my best to preach it to y'all, but I don't know anything about it. But the Lord has revealed something to me in the scripture, and I pray that it be a blessing to you tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke in chapter number 10. I'm a young man. I don't think that I'm seasoned by no means, but as I've had the opportunity to travel and preach, I've learned that a lot of men have an opinion. Everybody's got their opinion, you know, most of the time we don't care about it, but there are good men with good opinions. And I've noticed that when I didn't know what to do, when I was in a situation where I didn't know the answer, I'd call this man and I'd get his opinion, and I'd call that man and I'd get his opinion. And some of the men are in this building, I'd go to my preacher, I'd get his opinion, and when everybody's opinion's different, I learned that the answer to everything is just to get to Jesus' feet. And no matter what happens, when I really need the answer, I've got to find that time to get to the feet of Jesus, and that's where I find the answer to all my problems, all the situations that I have. Luke chapter number 10, we're going to begin in verse 38, very familiar piece of passage, scripture. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, talking about Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot do it without you, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. Help me to say everything you want me to and nothing that you don't, Lord. I pray that this would touch the hearts and the lives of the people that listen, whether it's now or later on in life, Lord. I just give me the words to say, God. Help me to be clear and understanding, Lord. Fill me with the power, the Holy Ghost of God. It's in your Son's perfect and precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We see here in the book of Luke, chapter number 10, a very, very familiar piece of scripture. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers preach on this. A lot of better preachers than me have preached on this scripture. All right? And I've heard some of them get up and say, we need people in the church to serve like Martha, and we need people to worship like Mary. Well, I would beg to say that Mary had done both of those things. Mary had served when she was supposed to serve, and then the Bible says that she also sat at Jesus' feet. I don't think that means, Brother Barry, I don't think that means that more people were in there sitting at Jesus' feet. I believe that she was serving before the Lord got there, and then when the Lord showed up, she knew that the good part and the needful thing to do was to get at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. So I'm not negating that we need people to serve like Martha, but I would beg to say the reason Martha's service turned into something negative is because her spirit was wrong. See, Martha served, but she served in the wrong spirit. Now, the most noticeable thing on somebody, especially living as a Christian, is their spirit. Now, it doesn't take me long, Pastor. I don't have much discernment. I'm young and dumb. But it still doesn't take me long to hang around somebody long enough, and I can tell you, all right, I'm not bearing witness with this person. All right, there's something off with this person. There's something that's not right with this person. I'm talking about saved people that I know are saved, and there's still some times where I get around those people and I think, there's not quite something right with that person. I would beg to say that Martha got so focused on the ministry. Friends, she forgot about the master. You see, Martha labored while Mary listened. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his word. And I was studying through the Bible the last couple days, and I noticed that every time somebody's at Jesus' feet, it was either the right response to get to his feet or something great came from being at his feet. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter number 15 is also a very familiar passage of scripture. Man, it is hot in here. Praise God. This is also a very familiar piece of scripture, Matthew chapter 15. Jesus had just got done earlier on in this chapter. He was talking to the Pharisees. He was saying, oh, you don't understand. Your heart's not right. You're living by the law. You're doing the things, thinking, living by the rules, and doing all the things you're supposed to. It's what's going to get you to heaven. It's not going to work. And then a woman comes to him, and she healed, and Jesus performs a miracle. But here in verse 29, Matthew 15, verse number 29, the Bible says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into the mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. So Jesus has got to the top of this mountain. He's sitting down. I would say he's kind of wearied from his journey because, you know, he's 100% man as much as he's 100% God. I can't explain it, but that's what my Bible tells me. We're Bible believers. But these people come up and they bring these lame people, blind people, dumb people, that means they couldn't speak, and many others, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet. Now, you already know what we're looking at tonight. It's the feet of Jesus. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. These people took these people. They went to the right people. And I want to notice the word cast. They cast them at Jesus' feet. So I don't know if it's that they didn't want to hang out with these people, if it's that they didn't want to be around these people. But I would beg to say we've got people in our lives that we need to cast at Jesus' feet. I'm not saying they're physically disabled. I'm talking about spiritually. There's people in our lives spiritually that we need to cast at Jesus' feet. I thank God every day for parents that casted me at Jesus' feet. They made sure I was in the church house every time the doors were open. It didn't matter what was going on. We were in the church house. We went to church camp. We did the things. My parents made sure we were at the feet of Jesus all the time. I thank God one day as a 13-year-old boy up in Indiana in the middle of a field, out in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea where it's at, but if I saw the place, I'd tell you. There was a tabernacle out there and sitting in the middle of a field. There were about 300 kids sitting underneath that tabernacle, and my pastor knew where to take us, and my youth pastor knew which preacher to sit us under that night, and God knew where I was going to be that night, and the preacher got up and preached hell hot. He preached heaven sweet, and I'm telling you something, that whole day, the preacher preached in the morning, the whole day, I thought, man, I've grown up in a Christian's home. I've lived right. I'm a part of the ministry. I've done the things I'm supposed to do. I help out at the church, but there was something inside that I didn't have. And that scripture right there, it tells us that the blind were able to see. Spiritually, friend, that night I was able to see. I was blind. I was walking straight to hell, Brother Roger. It didn't matter that I was raised in the right home. It didn't matter that I went to church every time the doors were open. I was still walking straight to hell because I had not personally accepted Christ. And that night, the preacher said, I don't have the answer for your problems, but if you come down here and get at the feet of Jesus, your life will be changed forever. Amen. And I got down at the feet of Jesus that night, and my life's been changed ever since. But not only were their lives changed, but at the end of verse number 31, it says, and they glorified the God of Israel. I'm here tonight to tell you that I am in awe of Jesus. Brother Roger, every time you preach, your testimony comes out. Every time you preach, you talk about that night Jesus changed your life. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus has changed my life, friend. It says that they glorified God. We've got a lot of church people that don't glorify God. They're not willing to say, hey, Jesus saved me. Hey, Jesus changed my life. You're not glorifying God. I would say that's half the reason the church house is empty. It's because we don't go out there in the world and say, hey, Jesus changed my life. After Jesus gives you eternal life, we ought to glorify the Savior. He's worthy. He saved you from hell, friend. He saved your soul from dying and going to hell. And if you don't have that joy, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm saying you're lost and you don't have Jesus in your heart. If you're watching this by live stream and you're thinking, what's the joy he's talking about? A friend, if you don't accept Jesus Christ into your heart and realize that you are a sinner and change or peace does not come in your life, I would beg to say, I don't care how much you are a part of the ministry. You have to know the Master. You have to be inside Christ. You have to let Christ enter inside your soul. And once that happens, I don't know how you can't glorify God. I don't know how you can't say, God has been good to me. God had saved my soul, Brother Roger. He saved my soul, Brother Barry. I was blind. I was on my way to hell, and he changed my life. And the scripture tells us when they got at Jesus' feet, the broken people were put back together. The people that got the problems, what they needed is they needed to be casted at Jesus' feet. Amen. How many of you have kids that are able to say, my parents cast me at Jesus' feet? They knew they didn't have all the answers, so they made sure I went to the right place at the right time, and they cast me at Jesus' feet. I see good results at Jesus' feet. Good things happen when we get to Jesus. I thank God every day of my life for my pastor, because we've had many talks in that office, and I've walked back there with pastor and not had the answer to my life. I've not had the answer. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? And this pastor friend tells me this, and that pastor tells me that, and they're all good men of God, but I thank God for a pastor who at the end of every conversation, he says, I cannot tell you what to do. You have to talk to God and get the answer from Jesus. Amen. That means my pastor has taught me to get to the feet of Jesus and worship him for a little while. And that's where I will find the answer for my life. That's where I'll find the answers to my problems. That's where I'll find the answers to everything that happens in my life is at the feet of Jesus. When there's people in my life that are broken, it's not about getting them around us, preacher. It's not about getting them around me. It's not about how much can I influence them. It's about, hey, how much of God can come out of me? Or how much can I get God around that person? I have to get at the feet of Jesus and worship him. I have to be anointed with that power in order for that power to be falling off of me and influencing somebody else's life. But it will not happen if we don't get at the feet of Jesus. It won't happen if we don't get at his feet. We've got broken people that need God. We've got broken people that need God, Brother Roger. We've got people in this house tonight. I'm not fooled. There's a lot of people in here. I heard someone on the way in say, man, the crowd is thin. With this many people in here, somebody needs to get to the feet of Christ. Somebody needs to get to Jesus tonight. Somebody watching this live stream might need to just get to the feet of Jesus. I'm telling you, that problem you have, that person that needs healing, that person that needs to come to Christ, you've got to cast them at the feet of Jesus. It's not about getting them around yourself. It's not about getting them around your group of people. It's about getting them to the feet of Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke in chapter number 8. Look at another man that ended up at the feet of Jesus. Very familiar scripture here as well. We'll begin in verse number 26. And they arrived at the country, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but the tomb. So Jesus has shown up. This man is naked. There's a man walking around naked, and he has a house, because later on in the passage, God tells him to return to his house. So he's walking around naked. He's full of devils. He's been full of devils for a long time. And he's hanging around in the tombs where they lay people after they die. It's kind of weird. And this man gets to the right person. Let's read on. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Verse 33, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done. Watch this. And they came to Jesus and found that man that was running around naked, that man that had devils inside of him, that man that didn't know what he was doing or where he was going, hanging out in a gravesite in the tombs. They come out and they say this. They found the man, verse 35, of whom the devils were departed, sitting where?
at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He was clothed in his right mind after he had been, after he had devils inside of him. You know why? Because he was able to get to Jesus and cry out and get some help. You know why some of us can't get to the feet of Jesus? Because you're living in sin. Some of us can't get to the feet of Jesus because we've got something inside of us. I'm not saying you're full of a devil. I'm not saying that, but in the spiritual sense, you're living in sin. You can't get that sin out of you. That's why you can't get to the feet of Jesus. That's why it bothers you when other people get to the feet of Jesus. Amen. That's why it bothers you when other people are happy. I have people, Pastor Lawson, I have people that hate me because I'm joyful. Yeah. They hate me because I've got some joy. You know what's wrong with this world? They cannot get over their sin far enough to get to the feet of Jesus. And I'm telling you tonight, you'll have some joy in your life if whatever sin you're living in, if you decide to cry out to God and get that right, wash it in the blood, you might be able to sit down at Jesus' feet clothed and in your right mind. You ain't in your right mind if you're living in sin. You ain't in your right mind if you're looking at that person down at the job site. You're not in your right mind if you're fornicating, if you're committing adultery, if you're watching pornography, if you're doing whatever it is you're doing out there, if you're being a junkard, if you're doing whatever sin you're living in, you're not going to want to be at the feet of Jesus if you don't get that washed in the blood. Amen. And you won't ever be in your right mind until that's fixed. You won't ever be in your right mind until that's fixed. The Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. He was in his right mind because Jesus took the sin out of his life and he was able to sit at the feet of Jesus and just worship a little while. If you were here last time I preached on public worship. I preached on worship is through faith and it's public. Tonight I'm talking about intimate worship. The worship that's a little more personal. When God did something for this man, he just sat there at the feet of Jesus and just worshiped him. He didn't care what anybody thought around him. He just sat at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. If God has taken sin out of your life, if God has saved your children, if God has saved you, why can't we just get intimate with God and sit at his feet? Amen. Why can't we just get to the feet of Jesus sometimes and worship him privately? Why can't we just be intimate with God? I'm not talking about intimacy as in sexual things. I'm talking about being personal with God. I'm talking about getting on a level that only God can reach you at. Like Pastor was talking about Wednesday night when you just sit down at the feet of Jesus and he reveals things to you and he shows you things. It's not going to happen if you don't get at his feet. It's not going to happen if you don't just get at his feet. And you're never going to want to get at his feet if you're living in sin. It's not going to happen. You got to choose one or the other. I see the result of this man after Jesus tells him in verse 39, return to thine own house and shew how great things God hath done unto thee. Jesus said, all right, you're clothed, you're in your right mind, you worshiped a little bit. Now go back to your house, go into the city and tell everybody what I did for you. I see the result of it in verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, so he's come back to that place, the people gladly received him. For they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at where? Jesus' feet. And he besought God. He knew the answer he needed was at Jesus. I see that this man went and he published the word of God. He published it in his own life. He was able to go out and back into his city and say, hey, I know Jesus. He can change your life. Just because you're in here, it doesn't mean you're going to let him change your life. You still have to come down and get at the feet of him to have a change in your life. You have to get to the feet of Jesus. I would say half the reason the church house is empty when it needs to be full is because we don't publish what God's done for us. We don't go out there and glorify God the way we ought to. Oh, we're too embarrassed to put a bumper sticker that says, God's been good to me on our car. Oh, that's tacky. Are you kidding me? God hung on a cross. You couldn't even recognize who he was. He died for you. And you can't just go out there and glorify him and tell somebody about God. This house ought to be full tonight just because there are saved people in here that can go out into that world and say, hey, come to this place. I know Jesus. Get at his feet and he'll change your life. And when they see a change in your life, they'll want it too. So you can't fool. See, it's easier to fool a Christian than it is to fool a lost person. It's easy to get in here and fool us. See, I can play the part, Brother Tony. I'm good at it. If I wanted to, I could play the part. Now, my pastor's not dumb. He knew if I was playing the part, probably. But it's easy to trick Christians. It's easy to be in the ministry and act like you're doing all the right things. But people out there, they know the difference. Okay, they know the difference in somebody who's got God and somebody who doesn't. It's in the church house where we get tricked and confused. When you go out there in that world, if you've truly had a change in your life, you will draw people to God. Amen. And if you've got sin taking over your life, you're never going to draw anybody to God. We'll move on. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I see 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Very common piece of scripture here as well. Begin in verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So I want to point out the reason these men were cleansed is because they listened to the word of God. Okay, the reason they were cleansed is because God said, hey, go show yourself to the priests, and that's where you'll be cleansed. You know where we have to go? Now, leprosy is a representation of sin in our life. A leprosy is a representation of sin. Nobody's going to want to touch you if you're dirty, filthy, full of sin, okay? But the way that we get that sin out of our lives is the same way the lepers did, and that's by listening to the word, Brother Roger. That's by studying the King James Bible. That's by reading this book. That's by coming to the church house. That's by listening to the man of God break the bread of life. We have to listen to his word to get that sin out of our lives. Amen. And I want to focus on what one of them did. Verse 15, and one of them, that he, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. With a loud voice glorified God. I mean, he was loud, Brother Tony. He said, hey, God, thank you for what you did to me. Thank you for cleansing me. But look at what he did. Verse 16, and fell down on his face. Where? Where? At his feet. Okay, so Jesus healed this man. See, we have in the church, we have a lot of the nine in the church. A lot of the nine of those men. We've got a lot of the nine. We don't have enough of the one. We don't have enough of the one that when God does do something for us, we don't give him glory. We don't fall at his feet. We don't get intimate with him. We don't say, God, you've been good. God, you answered that prayer. We just move on. We just get the things we need and we just keep on going. We need more of the one. We need more people in the church house to say, God has performed a miracle in my life. God has saved my child. God has, whatever it is he's done in your life, we need more people to say, God has been good to me. Amen. He's provided for me. He's done this. He's done that. And that one man with a loud voice turned back and glorified God. You see, we don't even glorify him at all. This man wanted to get to him. He turned back and he said, hey, Jesus, thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing me. But we oftentimes get selfish. We get that healing. We get that prayer answered, and we just keep on walking. We just keep on going. But we need more than nine in the church. We need to glorify God. It's an intimate thing to get at the feet of Jesus. And anytime you're going to do something intimate, it's going to be embarrassing at first. Anytime you do something that personal, it's going to be humbling at first. Okay? We'll get there later. We'll get there later. If you have your Bible, start in the book of John, chapter number 12. John, chapter number 12. I love this passage of scripture. Mary knows how to worship. Okay, now I've heard many men preach on Mary. Many men I've heard preach on Mary. Mary washes Jesus' feet in John chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where I think I've got the wrong passage. No, I'm right. Verse number 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. She took the expensive stuff, the bougie stuff, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, back in the Bible days, the hair of a woman, what was precious, it was covered. Okay, they don't walk around with their hair down like women do nowadays. Okay, they kept it up. They kept it covered. So it's a personal thing for her to show her hair in general. But not only did she show her hair, but she got down at the feet of Jesus. She got the expensive stuff. The expensive stuff. She poured it on Jesus' feet. She dropped her hair. I don't have long hair. And she washed the feet of Jesus with her hair. You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of servanthood. That's a sign of humility.
That's a sign of getting down and washing the feet of somebody who deserves it. Somebody who is worth us getting personal with. We're scared to get personal with Jesus because we're scared of the sin he's going to take out of our life. Amen. See, we've all got that besetting sin that's tearing us apart. And the reason you don't want to get personal with God, the reason you're not willing to wash his feet and get very intimate with Jesus, is because you know he's going to say, hey now, if you want me to accept that worship, you're going to have to get rid of that sin. You're going to have to get rid of that sin. But Mary knew how to worship God intimately. As we read in the first passage tonight, and we see here how she washed his hair with her feet. And then I want to look at, I know somebody, if I didn't preach on this one, somebody would have said it, John chapter 13. This is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But this is important as well. This is important as well. John chapter 13, beginning in verse number 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took the towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus, the Master, the Lord, the sinless, perfect man that never did anything wrong, got down and washed the disciples' feet. Okay, you know why he washed the disciples' feet? We'll keep reading. Verse number 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, oh, if I don't have a part with you, if you wash my feet, he said, then wash everything. Wash it all. I want to be a part of you. But Peter didn't understand what he was doing yet. He didn't quite understand it yet. Verse number 10, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. So he says, hey, I wash your feet, and who do you say that I am? You say that I'm Master and I'm Lord? You're right, that is what I am. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. So Jesus washes the feet of the disciples and says, I am Master, I am Lord. I am your example to say that no one is greater than somebody else. Pastor this morning said, he's not better than anybody else, and you're not better than him. We're all sinners. You know one of the problems we've got in the church house? You know why we can't get to the feet of Jesus on our own? Because we're not willing to wash each other's feet. Now, I don't want to touch your toe fungus. I'm talking about spiritually, okay? We're not willing to serve each other, brother. Brother Crane, we're not willing to serve each other. We're not willing to love each other. We're not willing to serve and care for each other and humble ourselves one to another. See, this is what happens. We get a title or we start doing something. We start being a part of that ministry. We start being a part of this thing. And then we get so high up on our high horse that we think, I'm not washing somebody else's feet. They need to help me. Yeah. I'm not going to help their ministry. Yeah. They need to help my ministry. Yeah. No. God was the example of washing the disciples' feet, how we are to humble ourselves to each other and wash each other's feet. I'm no greater than you. You're no greater than me. I'm no greater than you. You're no greater than me. We are to wash each other's feet. We're to care for each other. We are on the same team. We are to love one another, and God hath given us that example. Amen. God hath given us that example. Amen. We'll move on. Back to Luke chapter number 10. This is where we'll be the remainder of the evening. Luke chapter number 10. I love this story in the Bible. There's so much in it. I probably couldn't preach everything I wanted to, but we'll get the main points, and Lord willing, it'd be a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 10, Verse 38, we'll read it again. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Okay, so this story is a perfect example that you can even let Jesus inside and still not be a part of him. Okay, Jesus can be in here and you still not be a part, you still not understand what's happening. Because Martha was the one that let Jesus in, and she had hospitality. She let him in. She said, yeah, come into my house. But she was not willing to get at the feet of Jesus instantly. She got busy. She got distracted. She started, maybe I need to make Jesus some bread. Maybe I need to clean the dishes. Maybe I need to get this done spiritually in our lives. I know I need to study today, but I really need to go to the church and help do this. I really need my face to be seen. I really need to make sure that people know that I'm being a part of this, Brother Roger. I really need to make sure the church knows, Brother Tony, that I'm here to help with this. Amen. It's a selfish thing. It's a selfish thing. We've got a problem. I've got an illustration for you tonight. I'm going to go grab it. I'll be right back. In this box is the most dangerous thing in your life. In this box is the most dangerous thing that you will ever come in contact with. In this box is the one thing that will hinder your walk. It's the one thing that will tempt you to sin. It's the one thing, it's the most dangerous thing in your Christian life, Brother Tony. Brother Barry, why don't you come up here and look in this box? Tell me if I'm right.
You're 100% right.
I'm right. Brother Barry said I'm right. Let's get another opinion here. Brother Tony, why don't you come look and see what's in this box? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. See, I've got two smart men here that agrees with me the most. Pastor, why don't you come look? We'll get the pastor's opinion on this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got the pastor's agreement on this one. All right, now the most dangerous thing, we've all agreed, the smart men agreed, I'm not one of them, is the most dangerous thing in your life is this box. And it's what Martha got focused on, is what's in this box. You want to know what's in the box? This is the most dangerous thing in your life. Look at it. Look at that. Brother Andy, that's the most dangerous thing in your life. That's it. I'm not kidding. I know it's funny, but it's really not a joke. That's what will send you to hell. That's what will get you distracted on the ministry. That's what will make you forget about the master. Look at it. Yourself. Martha got so worried about what Jesus would think about her. She got so worried about, what will God think? What will God think if I'm not serving? What will God think if I'm not a part of the ministry? What will God think if I'm not busy, 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 busy? Mary chose the good part. And that was just to get at the feet of Jesus. You see, we get so focused on ourselves. Oh, look what Martha says to Jesus. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. So this is what I meant when I said it's not the fact that she was serving. It's the fact that she was serving in the wrong spirit. You see, we get so busy. We get so caught up in this Christian life thing. That we get cumbered. We get a bad spirit on us. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. Praise God. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, you can still have the wrong spirit sometimes. You can still have the wrong attitude sometimes. You can still get so focused on yourself that you become to have an attitude. And Martha had some nerve here. She says, verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone? She left me. It's about me. My sister left me. And then she says, bid her to come help me. So Martha gets down in Jesus' face and says, hey, tell my sister to help me. Like a five-year-old. Wah, wah, wah. Somebody call the ambulance. She says, so tell her to come help me. That's what she does. It's a selfish thing. It became about her really fast. It became about Martha. That's what it became about. It became about Martha. It became about, let her help me. But Jesus' response is so relaxed. I love it. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha,
You know how much better life would be if our response would be like Jesus? And when somebody got mad at us, or when somebody that thinks they're serving better than us, but they don't really know. You see, I've talked to people before, and they want me to come and do things. And there's some people, I'll tell them, I'll say, man, I got to get alone. I haven't spent enough time with the Lord this week, Brother Tony. I need to get alone. You see, some people will say, no, you need to be at the church helping. No, you need to be at the feet of Jesus. That is the needful thing. The Bible tells us that one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. We get so caught up in choosing the busy, busy, busy that we don't choose the good part.
That's the truth.
And we get distracted. Yeah. When's the last time you just sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his word? I don't care. God's not impressed with you. God's not impressed with how much you're a part of the church. God's not impressed with how many times I've preached. He's not impressed with how many years pastor's been in the ministry. He's not impressed with how many times you've helped sing in the choir. He's not impressed by what you can do. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get at his feet and be intimate and just worship with him a little while.
Amen.
And we get burnt out. We get burnt out because we get so focused on the ministry. And a lot of times we don't have the response as Jesus. See, I've been in the position where I'm dumb, but sometimes I have enough discernment to say, all right, I haven't been with Jesus enough this week. I need to just get alone for a couple days. I just need to be with God. I need to get in my closet for a little while. And when people say something to me, I smart remark back. And I don't do what Jesus did. Jesus said, Martha, 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 you just don't understand. Mary's choosing the good part. She's choosing to get at the feet of Jesus. There's no reason to be worried. There's no reason to be upset that I haven't noticed you. I really just want you to get closer to me. I really just want you to get closer to me. I really just want you to get at my feet and worship a little while, be a little more personal with me. Mary hath chosen that good part. Why is it so important as Christians to get at the feet of Jesus? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. It's so important to get to the feet of Jesus because at the feet of Jesus is where we find the answers to everything. Okay, it's where we find our purpose. It's where we find the people in our lives we're supposed to be around. God will reveal those things to us. Amen. It's where we get discernment, Brother Tony. It's where we get wisdom. It's where we get the things we need. But most importantly, we get protected at the feet of Jesus. We get provision at the feet of Jesus. And praise God, that's where we get the power, is at the feet of Jesus. You will never get power from this world. You'll never get power listening to another man. You'll never get power just reading, thinking that you are going to come up with a good outline. The only place you will find power is when you get at the holy feet of Jesus Christ. And we as Christians are to have that power on our lives. If you want to get up and preach, you better have power or it ain't worth nothing. If you want to get up and preach, Brother Andy, you better got that power or it ain't going to be worth nothing. We've got to have that power as Christians. If you want to witness, you need the power. You want to play the piano, you want to play the bass, the guitar, you want to sing. We as Christians need that power for this world dying and going to hell. You know how we get the power? We get to the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
That's where we find the power, is at the feet of Jesus Christ. Martha is the example that Jesus can be in the house and we still miss what he has for us. Now, if you don't think God was here last Wednesday night when Brother Tony preached, you done lost your mind. I'm not trying to be mean, but you lost your mind. And I'm not trying to puff you up, Brother Tony. You're worth nothing. But God was on him. God was on him, church. And God told him what to say. And God told him what to preach. And God anointed him with power. Amen. I would beg to say that week, at some point, Brother Tony got at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
I would beg to say that he knew exactly what to say because he knew where to go. But Martha is the example that even when a man of God can get up and preach and God can come in here, we can still miss what he has for us.
Yeah.
Just because you're in here doesn't mean you're in here. You could be in here physically and out there mentally. When God's in here, you need to be a part of it. When God's in the church house, you need to be a part of it. I invite him every time I come. I know people that invite him every time they come too. When we're in the church house, it's the best place to get at the feet of Jesus. But preacher was talking Wednesday night about being in his prayer closet and God revealing things to him and getting up early in the morning. And I'm an old man. I love to get up and drink a hot cup of tea. I do. I love to sit on the porch, drink a hot cup of tea, go down and sit at my desk, drink a hot cup of tea. And friend, I'm telling you something. When it's dark And when I just open my Bible, call me weird, but I'll just put my hands on my Bible. I'll just say, God, tell me something. God, talk to me. Just like Pastor was talking about Wednesday night, he reveals himself most when you get personal, when you get intimate with him, when you decide to get at his feet and listen to his word. Amen. There's one thing that is needful, that passage says. One thing is needful, and that's to be at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. Amen. You want power in your life? You want joy in your life? You want what God has for you? Get at the feet of Jesus. Otherwise, everything will fall apart. You'll never have the answers. When's the last time you just got intimate with God and got at the feet of Jesus? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord. I'm undeserving, but I thank you. I pray that it touched the hearts and the lives of the people here, the people watching online. It's in your son's perfect and precious name I pray. Amen.